Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Haven't played that song on this show yet. Thank you very much. Nice hearing TKZ again.
Yes.
Why did you select that song?
I think that song was the most important Kwaito song ever to have come out of South Africa. I think that changed because musically that people just like, here's this guy's from Drakensberg Boys Choir and stuff. Mm. And then here's this other gangster guy that's just doing it. Yeah. So those guys, Zwai, Kabelo and Magesh. Mm. They legends, bro.
Legends.
They're actually as big as Sipho Hotstix Mabuse, if not bigger, in my opinion.
Got a tweet in here from No to Xenophobia. Hello, No to Xenophobia. Beautiful interview, Barnes. Oh, and the TKZ jam you playing. Laugh out loud. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Enjoying the interview. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, Jacaranda, that's how we change people's perceptions, guys.
It's like tonight we're playing music you've never heard before.
Point of
reference. Open your mind.
There we go. You still don't have my favorite song, but it's fine.
Yeah, what was it? What was it again you asked for?
I asked for Moment of Truth by Gangsta.
Do you know why I'm not playing it? Because all the swearing in there.
Yeah, there's a bit of swearing.
Yeah, it's a bit hardcore. Yeah.
It's not really hardcore. Yeah. It's just there's certain, it's kind of lonely at the top in whatever you do. You always got to watch around you.
Yeah.
Nobody's invincible. He says, nobody is invincible. No plan is foolproof. Everybody needs to meet their moment of truth.
Wow. When is that book coming out, Joey?
I'm writing, don't worry.
No, you have to. Okay, now listen, the first TV show you did, do you remember? Yeah. Cast your mind back. You did a lot of commercials or whatever, but the opportunity, how did that happen?
The first TV show.
Do you still remember?
Yes, I think it was Go For It. Yeah, that was the first TV show. There was this lady called Laverne Engel that believed in me back in the day. And we did the show called Go For It. And I still admit that show was before its time because it was like a Japanese game show. Mm-hmm. But it was targeted at SABC to audience, Afrikaans people. And at the time they were like, what a nonsense is this? My God, who will you know? This not clump nonsense. But in later years, Japanese game shows took over the world. Mm. And Go For It was basically a version of a Japanese game show because we used to do stupid things. And celebrities used to do stupid things. And like Ninja Warrior and those things. So it wasn't as competitive as Ninja Warrior. But that's what I did, Go For It. Yeah, that was one of my first TV shows. And then we did a Pio Manati show, Kagiso and David. And yeah, I think that show would have been like Saturday Night Live if it didn't get cancelled for certain, red tape and people wasn't just ready for it. And then I did Play TV with Kim Engelbrecht and Darren Moore and Bobby Malloy and stuff. And I did some other stuff I can't even remember anymore.
But I think it's time for a late night talk show, don't you think, with Joey Rustin. What would you call the show?
Late Night Live with Joey. I wouldn't want to have a talk show.
Why not?
Not a talk show. I'd rather do like Dockies or a sports show. I'd love to do a sports show, a golf show or a cricket show. Like me going around the country and checking out the courses and doing course reviews, normal person's course reviews on the courses, how they play. Who's he set perk and who's he,
And it won't be serious. It won't be a joke. It won't be comedy. It'll be a serious thing.
Yeah, it'll be not. It's not comedy. It'll be an entertaining thing about it would be entertainment, infotainment about sports, about golf, and what type of clubs you use, and what course is better than the next course, and the members at this course, and how challenging the holes is, and what you need to be able to play a certain course. Yeah, so that, and then I also want to do certain documentaries on in cricket, especially as to what happened to guys like Mondi Zondeke and Funefu Ngam, where they now Thandi Tshabalala. So I wanna, because there's always talented. Like if you look at Calvindale, for instance, in PE, how many talented coloured people came from there that represented in South Africa? Esho Prince is now a selector. He comes from Calvindale. Garnet Kruger, Elviro Peterson, Dane Clayt, and let's just go on. from guys that come from one small town, Calvindale, or like Pau, for instance. There's certain Wesha Langefeld and Justin Ontong, like stayed streets away from each other, and how. So, and you want to do docus on how, who influenced them and stuff, you know. There's a story that I read. I forget the guy's name now, but he's one of the world's most successful agents, and he's in Brazil, and he goes from favela to favela, and he discovered like Ronaldinho and Neymar and stuff. I think we need somebody like that in South Africa, because there's so much talent in this place, and if you can just go out there and find that. And I want to do, like, you know, certain things like that, like that inspirational story about where Isaac Kongwane passed away and where he comes from, and yeah, so. So I wouldn't want to do a late night show. Okay. I'd rather do a sports show that shows that creates role models.
I also think documentaries play a major role in the history of this country. So there's so much to stories to tell or whatever, which is brilliant.
I love document. Vice is my favorite channel, actually. I see Mnet recently showing Vice documentaries on a Sunday, but Vice has always been one of my favorite channels on YouTube.
How do you feel about the when it comes to sport? The let's not go. We'll go the political route.
Why
not?
The quota system.
Let's talk about the infrastructure as well. It's like, do you think that you got your 15 players? Well, about 30 will be going to the World Cup. Now the selection. You know, I feel sorry
the
for
rugby. Rugby.
Let's talk rugby quickly, and then the cricket as well. The infrastructure in South Africa for all colours to play cricket. Where do they go to find those kids that are playing? You know what I mean? How do you feel? What would you do to make a big change in this country?
First and foremost, you can't deny the fact that Gray and Afis and Paul Boys and Paul Jim and Gaze and Michael House and Hilton, Maritzburg, they produce the best players. You can't, Pretoria Boys, you can't deny that. It's because they have a history. That history was created over 100 years ago. And there's a support structure, not only from the families, but they have old boys and they have sponsors and all those things. Because, you know, if you go to St. Stithians, you're probably going to be a CEO of some company. So that CEO of that company will send his children there. So there's that tradition. You know, it's like Eton College in Oxford and Cambridge. So obviously, if your school is like that, Bishops and Sachs and Rondebosch, the school structure, in school already, you can see that, I think, especially for rugby, if you have Kays and JP play against each other, there's 50 people, 15,000 people, or Paul German Paul Boys, they play against each other, a classic clash. That's 15 decent men, so be fair, die Satrach. And Ye and Paul Jum at 15, as 15, 13, and ye die laaste skop for Paul Boys. And as you did oor skop, wen ye. For a 17-year-old, the pressure on that 17-year-old is higher, I think, than a professional guy kicking in the World Cup. Because the tradition, the community, you're only 17, you're emotionally immature. So that prepares. So if you, whereas compared to Rivoli High School. So now there's this guy from Rivoli High School, he doesn't care about Rivoli High School really. It's just a school. Whereas Afis is an institution. So, there's obviously gonna be a different type of caliber of sports person that's going to come out from office then as opposed to Coronationville High School, because the tradition and the culture, and it's because it's not as the tradition and cultures of office, for instance. So where do we do that? How do we do that? You can't create pride overnight in a school. You can't. And that's where everybody needs to go to is a school. From primary school. I believe from primary school, if you want to have a truly multiracial sporting fraternity, it stands to reason, let's be honest, Barney, it stands to reason that if you look at any South African team, 80% of the people should be black in the team, because 80% of the country is black, isn't it? So it stands to reason that that should be the case. So, and then people is like, you can't say that, you can't, this tradition. I understand. But if all things is square and we all begin at the same point, it stands to reason, evolutionary speaking, Charles Darwin's theory of evolution saying that if we all start at the same point and we have everything the same and we have the same talent and we grow up the same way, if we have all share the old same point of reference, then according to the demographics of South Africa, there should be a certain amount of non-white players and white players and Indian players and colored players. Does it make sense? So my argument is, where do we start? You can't overnight create the traditions of Grey and Afis in Grevely or Coronationville. It's going to take time. So what do you do then? Maybe you start an academy. Maybe you identify all the great players, all the good players with talented in that specific area, like they do.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon.